You hear the old Jack Watch doing that little familiar countdown that introduces you to our show called Blind Like Me. It's Phil Parr, and our only requirement, as we said, for being a guest on Blind Like Me is that you are dealing with blindness in some form on a day-to-day basis. And Chris Judd is certainly doing that. Chris, sir, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, Phil. Thanks for asking.
Well, it's good to have you with us. So your fiance is Chastity, and we have her on the phone with us also. And I said to Chris, it'd be all right if Chastity joins us. Oh, yeah, that'd be fine. He's a smart man. Because if he had said no, it would have been, I'm not talking to you ever again, you know. Anyway, you folks are young people. You're in your 20s. Are you young? Are you as young as you sound or not?
I'm actually 45.
Really?
Well, I'm 25.
You're 25.
Right.
That's about what I thought. Chris, you about the same age? How old are you?
Yeah, I'm about maybe 26, actually, in about
20 days.
Yeah, about a week or so. Yeah.
So just before Christmas, you're going to be 26.
Mm-hmm.
And what, Chastity, I think you said you were legally blind. And Chris, what is your level of vision, sir?
I'm totally blind.
You're totally blind, and Chastity is legally blind. By that, did you have good vision at one time, or have you always been?
It's been stable. I've always been the way I am now. I was born with septoroptic dysplasia.
Oh, okay.
And so not only do I have blindness, but I have problems with hypopituitarism, and I take growth hormone on a daily basis and thyroid medication.
And, Chris, you were totally blind and always have been. Is that right or not?
That's right.
Born that way 25 or so years ago and always have been. And you also have some other medical problems that you're dealing with in the form of epilepsy, I think you said.
Yes, that's correct.
That, of course, that is controllable now with medication, right?
Yes.
But it still would be something that you'd have to worry about and look after and take care of, or it would get the better of you if you didn't.
Right.
You folks live in the big city of St. Louis, Mo.
Right.
Is there still a store in St. Louis called Famous Bar?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, there is.
That store still exists.
It does.
I remember that from, of course, and I talked to someone else in St. Louis this not long ago who said that the Cardinals were not on KMOX this year.
No, they're on KTRS now.
Man.
Big 550.
The Big 550, which isn't really as big as KMOX.
Now, KMOX's signal is not as big as KTRS. And apparently what the Cardinals are doing to implement that is they're acquiring other radio affiliates to cover the signal in different parts of Missouri where people can't hear the Cardinals. They're just putting on other affiliates to their network.
Because Cam Wicks, you could hear that sucker all. I can hear it down here quite well.
No, I know. I'm not originally from Missouri. I'm originally from Minnesota.
Oh, is that right?
Uh huh.
What part of Minnesota?
Cottage Grove. It's on the east side of St. Paul.
On the east side of St. Paul. Well, and that was what you were born up there. Your early years were spent in Minnesota.
Yeah, I was actually born up there. Yeah.
So this cold weather in St. Louis ain't nothing to you, is it? Because it gets cold in St. Paul, Minnesota.
I lived in Minnesota until 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And that's where your parents are? Are they still around?
Yeah, my parents, yep. Their parents are up there. My brother and sister are up there.
All right, let's just start with you, Chris. How did you were a little young when they decided to send you to school? What did they do? They send you to a blind school or what? What kind of school?
I was mainstreamed into public school my entire life. My entire schooling career. My parents believed that as a blind person, a blind student, I should be able to be in a public setting with the other students, and that's what they did. And those are the best years of my schooling career because I met some great friends there and throughout my schooling. And of course, I had to adapt a lot of things, but that was no problem. I handled that rather well.
Well, I think they're right. I think being mainstream or being a mainstream student is, of course, there are advantages to both. When you're in the blind school, you're around some other blind kids and you learn things from them. But I think, by and large, mainstreaming is much better. And your parents thought the same thing.
Yeah, my parents did, because I think, my opinion, I agree with you on that, because when you're in a blind school, you are around other blind people, yes, but you really don't get a chance to really, I mean, let's see, how can I put this?
Well, interact with the sighted kids.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly, right.
Which you got a chance to do a lot of. How did you fare in school? Your grades good? Did you do academically pretty well?
Yeah, I did. I did all right. I did pretty good. And I developed, like I said, a lot of good friendships with a lot of people. I've loved a lot of people I keep in touch with to this very day. I keep in touch with them, and I got some blind friends of mine who I keep in touch with, mm-hmm. And making new ones along the way. So.
Well, yeah, because you're on. I think I saw you on FTP the other night.
Yes.
Over there, you make a lot of friends over there, and you're on our list, aren't you? One of our.
Yes, I am. Uh huh. I'm on the Blind Like Me list.
Yeah, that's a good list, and you know that list is growing all the time. It's just amazing every day when I read, there are new members. Coming in all the time. So you went to all the way through public school. You did 12 years, 12 grades in 12 years, just like everybody else.
Yep.
So this was in Minnesota, like you said, and you lived at home.
Yep.
Went home every night just like the other kids. Do you have siblings? You have brothers and sisters?
Yes. I have a younger brother and a younger sister.
Now, what about their vision? Is their vision normal?
Yes, they are sighted.
They are sighted. You build yourself on FTP as announcer, so obviously are you a radio guy like I am, like the rest of us? Did you fall in love with audio or what?
I've been in love with radio and audio since I was a kid. I'm not a radio announcer per se. I have not been in the field, but I have been. I was a public address announcer for a girls' basketball team in high school. And I got a lot of press coverage on it.
You do have a very nice voice.
You could
do radio. I thought you probably had done some voiceover work. You never have had the opportunity to do that yet.
I have.
You have. All right, but we'll get to you in just hang on. We'll get to you in just a second. Chris never has done that, but you have, Chastity, huh?
Right.
That's amazing, because Chris, you'd like to do that sort of thing. It just never has presented itself, the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to, if someone wants me to, record an MP3 file of something, I can just send it off to them, and then that'd be easy. Because just give me a script and an MP3, what they want me to say, I'll do it, because that's something I enjoy doing. And a lot of people have asked me, in the past, they're like, "How did you get the voice? And did it just come naturally to you, or were you imitating people? What'd you do?" And I just said, "Well, it just came about, and it'll be because of the announcing that I did.
Mm-hmm.
I kept practicing and perfecting it, and I recorded a lot. I did a lot of recording and
listening to yourself,
listening
back.
To myself. Yeah, do different things and try to think, okay, well, how can I improve this? How can I make this sound better? And it just kept it just kept improving, and finally it just stuck.
Well, that's the way you do it. Practice, practice. It's like anything else. If you want, you sit around and talk like this all the time.
Yes,
but
you do.
You, didn't, you know, you say, I say KPRC TV Channel 2 Houston 1,000 times a day, or used to. I don't care anymore, but at one time I worked on my, you know, I did the intro to Channel 2 News thousands, hundreds of millions of times, trying to get it perfect, trying to get that voice exactly where I want it.
Exactly.
All right. So you got high school, and let's take just a minute with Chastity. You say, what was your schooling experience, huh?
I went to public high school as well, and I graduated from public school in 2000 with a 3.97 GPA.
Really?
And then I went to the University of Missouri, St. Louis, and I got my bachelor's in mass communications with an emphasis in theory and rhetoric, and I got a minor in English.
In mass communications. Now, what does that mean?
It means that you can pursue any type of field. I really thought you needed it to get into radio, and I realize now you don't, but you can do radio with it, or you can do journalism, or
yeah,
you know, any of those fields. And
they count on you not knowing that, you know.
Right.
You know how you get in radio?
I'm sorry?
You know how you get in radio? You're standing there when a guy gets fired. That's how you get in radio.
Yeah.
You were there when they dismiss the guy, some guy. You simply hang around until someone gets fired and you get their job. That's how you get in radio. And that's you laugh, you know, you can laugh, but that's almost the truth, very close to the truth. And so you're also a radio enthusiast, Chastity, right?
Yeah, for a while I was. I changed my mind quite a bit during college, but I ended up with a degree in communications and a certificate in writing and a minor in English. And I also went to, I attended the University of Missouri, St. Louis, but I attended the Pierre Laclede Honors College, which is for the most prestigious, it's a very prestigious college on the campus of UM St. Louis for students who maintain a 3.2 GPA and above.
Why did you change your mind in college?
I just decided it wasn't the path I wanted to pursue, and I found other things that I was good at. I decided for a while to go into law, and then I decided to get an MBA, and I think many students change their mind several times in college. I mean,
oh sure, there's nothing wrong with that, but you still could do law. You could still go get it. A law degree.
Right.
Now that you have a four-year degree, and you do have a four-year degree, you have a BA.
I graduated from college in 2004.
In 2004. Chris, you didn't go to college. You decided not to go, or what did you?
Yeah, I didn't. I started going to college, but I didn't finish it.
I think you said it was just more trouble than you thought it was worth.
Yeah.
Well, he had problems with his seizures during college as well. He went to ICU a few times.
Oh, my.
Yeah,
that would be no fun.
Yeah, and 2002 was the scary one. I almost lost my life because of it.
Oh, my. What, did you just forget to take your medicine, or what happened?
No, I took – what happened was I was going through a hard time where I was trying to get the right type of medicine, and it was basically I had a different neurologist than I do now.
Oh, so they didn't have your medicine adjusted correctly.
Right, and
they were putting on different combinations every week and changing it all the time. And his neurologist at the time didn't care and would let the refills run out, and there were all types of difficulties.
Chris, your neurologist didn't care? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, he didn't really, it just sounded to me like he didn't really care about his, I mean, he was kind of the type where if I called and I had a question, he was kind of like, well, you know, I'm busy, or we'll do this. So in my opinion, he just wasn't a very good neurologist.
Time to change doctors. Time to change.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my.
That's what I did right when I got out of ICU. Chastity and I actually, we looked for a new one, and we found one, and she is a lot nicer than the other one, because I've been on the same medicine now for
3.5 years.
Three and a half years, and I've had no seizures since.
Believe it or not, for somebody who didn't go to med school, like, I guess I lucked out because I was just really concerned because I was the one having to help him through all these seizures. And, you know, when he got out of ICU, I had to feed him and dress him and bathe him and everything else, and because he was very weak. And I was just scared of, you know, every other time I turned around, his heart was stopping. Or,
no, not
you know.
Good.
And so I had to, you know, finally I just did hours and hours of research on different seizure medications. I called different places. I got in touch with others that had epilepsy. I got in touch with doctors. I just called everybody I could think of. I don't even remember who I called. But I did it for 2 or 3 days straight. And then I went to someone who referred me to a good neurologist for him. And then I asked the neurologist, well, how about these medications? I've researched them. And I just, you know, I guess it was just trial and error because I just told her, you know, what about these medications? And then she put him on those, and he hasn't had a change since. So it's odd that a doctor couldn't figure it out, but then with a little online research, I recommend something, and he didn't have
You know, fortunately, we have the Internet, and you can do that kind of research now. Whereas 20 years ago, you couldn't. You know, there would be no way to find out those things. But you've got it complete. You've got it under control now, Chris, right?
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, have you thought about going back to college, maybe, and getting yourself a degree in something? You could
I don't know, really. I mean, that basically, it would have been nice, but it's kind of like, you know, what happened back then in 2002 kind of was like, well, that kind of was a scary situation.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, well, I don't know if I really want to try it again. I don't want the same thing to happen again that happened.
No, you don't.
Back in 2002, so that's why I was really hesitant about.
And there is some fear factor there that
right.
that you can't get past. Well, but you're young still, and maybe you will, and maybe, you know, it doesn't really matter. A lot of folks do fine without college education.
Right. Yeah. But I do have I did try to go to a broadcasting school down here, but that didn't work out at all. They weren't really.
Why is that? They couldn't deal with a blind guy?
Yeah, well, they had a hard time trying to adjust to the fact that about all the equipment, about how we were going to adapt all the equipment, and it didn't really work.
They were
willing to, but by the time they were interested, he wasn't interested anymore.
They wouldn't let you put your screen reader on their equipment. They didn't think.
Yeah, it was just a lot of back and forth, back and forth. I wanted to get started right away, but it was all the back and forth, trying to get things done, and I just finally told myself, you know what, that's it. I don't want to deal with all this going back and forth stuff.
Well, there's no reason why you can't adapt any of the equipment. I mean, there's no reason why today, of course, everything is run by computers, but we, you know, I'm sure you read, you play on the computer all the time, don't you?
I mean, oh, yeah.
So there's no reason why your screen reader wouldn't read that digital DJ program or whatever they happen to be using.
Yeah, that's true.
There are many of them. If they you know, that's their fault. Of course, when I did radio, we were still playing records. You ever see a record? You've seen 45 records?
I used to have a record player at home. I used to have at my parents' place. I used to have a record player with actual records.
And your parents had had records and a record player.
Records and a record player. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what we did when I was in radio. That's how we played music, was off of records. Of course, a lot of folks did what they call cartridge. They carted records. You know what a cart machine is?
Yes, I do. I've actually seen a cart machine. Yeah.
Have you now?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I have too. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I've actually. One of the first times I actually got a chance to do my first actual on air.
Huh?
This was when I was back in high school. I was actually. It wasn't a station, but you could kind of call it that. It was a radio reading service.
Uh-huh.
And I had to do, I was at a summer program, like a employment, you know, type program where they teach you about job skills and that type of thing. And I told them that radio was one of my careers back then. That's what I wanted to do. So
that was your passion.
They signed me up to work at our. At State Services for the Blind in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I was in their communications center where they have a whole bunch of different communication things like technology related. You can do a lot of things. I started out as a what they call a tape evaluator, which was which is where I would evaluate a potential on-air, either people that were going to volunteer to read the news. I would listen to how they read things, and I would say, okay, this person sounds good. Let's use them, or let's not use them.
Well, wait a minute. How did and you were the guy who evaluated the new talent coming in, and you were just a high school boy?
Yeah, I was. Well, I was actually working with somebody. It wasn't just me by myself. It was my it was myself and another guy who was doing it longer than I was. But I listened to it, and he helped me write the evaluations because I told him, I said, okay, this person sounds good, let's use them, or this person sounds good, but they occasionally do this, they need to work on this.
This person stinks.
Yeah.
We don't want to use them.
I had to do that. I had to actually tell them to not use this person, but obviously it wasn't up to me. It was up to, you know, he made the call, but I made the good recommendation.
Now these were people who were coming in to volunteer to work at this radio reading service.
Right, to read the news and to read books and to do all that type of thing. And then for the last half, I worked in the broadcasting division, the division of it, where I was actually using the equipment and looking at the equipment of the studio, and I helped do two things. The first thing I had, and I wish they saved this air check, but they didn't. That would have been nice. I actually introed. I didn't intro. It was a. We came out of a program. It was a 20 minutes after the hour. I did a break. And what I did was I. They showed me. This was on a spur of the moment. They did a. I was talking to one of the DJs. The guy who was going to actually do it, he's like, hey, you got a good radio voice. Do you want to intro a break here? I'm like, right now? And he goes, sure, why not? I'll show you how to use the board, and we'll get permission from the management. And and we'll. So I said, okay.
So they sat you down in front of the board,
yep.
Showed you where the mic switch was.
Yep.
And you did this in Braille, or you just memorized the copy?
I memorized. It was, like I said, it was real quick. I had to memorize. He only showed me there were three buttons that he said that I had to memorize. The rest of them, we could care less about. So he just showed me three buttons that were vital. One of them was, of course, bringing the mic up so you could talk, and the other two were. Bringing down the last program and then
starting the next one
queued up,
and starting the next one.
And starting the next one. So as soon as that other program was over, I just pushed the other two buttons to bring my mic up and to queue down that last program. And I did my and I said.
And you said.
And I said, let's see, what did I say? I'm trying to remember my exact line.
Let's have your exact line.
My exact
history in the making, friends, right here.
Okay, this is what I said.
All right, we're ready.
Okay. I said, this is the Radio Talking Book Network, broadcasting by satellite from studios in St. Paul, Minnesota. Good morning. I'm Chris Judd, an intern here at the Radio Information Service here at State Services for the Blind. It's coming up on 10:20, 20 minutes after the hour. And here's now time for the conservative here on the Radio Talking Book Network.
Talking much too fast.
And then I queued down, and I turned the mic off, and then queued up the.
You started the conservative.
Yep, the conservative. That's a magazine, I believe.
And yeah.
The guy read from the magazine.
Well, it's a shame you got that on the conservative.
Well, you know, I had no control over their programming.
People
just ran it.
People think, or some of you are thinking, well, what a big deal that was. A guy got to say three lines on the radio. At that point in time in your life, that was the biggest deal in the world.
Right.
I mean, that was. You were on the radio. People were listening to your voice out with their radios out there, and that was a big deal when
right.
I was a kid getting to do to do things like that, getting to go to radio stations and
right.
and see how the equipment worked and talk to the DJ. And we had this guy in Austin. He used to come. Of course, I realize now that he liked the free beer, and he'd come by at night before he went to work. He did all nights at KNOW in Austin. With that call letter is now in Minnesota, by the way. And he would drink a few beers before he went on the air, and we just thought that was great. Well, real disc jockey, look at this! You know. So that was a big deal to you, to get to do what you did.
And then I had another opportunity that same summer. This time they wanted me to actually read something on the air. Of course, it was in Braille. They actually Brailled it for me ahead of time.
What was it? What did you get to read?
I'm trying to remember what it was. I think it was a little humorous piece or like a lighter side of the news piece, just something to fill like 3 minutes worth. It was at the same time slot, the 20-minute.
After that 20-minute break.
Yeah, but this was a different program that I was running. It wasn't the conservative that was coming up. I don't remember it was a different day. And so what happened was that I got the item that morning, and it was pretty easy to read. It was pretty simple. And so what I did was I looked at it, and I studied it.
Uh-huh.
And then when I was finished with it, and then the guy said, okay, it's time to go on the air. And so I went in there and read the item, and that was that. But it was...
But he was the board operator. You just did the reading.
Right.
That time
I wasn't a board op that time. That time I just talked.
Turned your mic on, and you got to read something. I always like the guy said, from Minnesota Public Radio. Didn't he have a great voice? I haven't. They don't use him anymore. They've changed that now. Prairie Home Companion is something. It's not PRI anymore. It's not Minnesota Public Radio. I can't remember.
National Public Radio now.
No, it's not. It's Ed Garrison has started a company of his own. Chastity, are you cooking dinner? What are you doing? Chastity.
Hang on 1 second.
Are you cooking dinner? You sound like you're rustling, moving dishes around.
No, I'm not.
Oh, I thought you were whipping up a spaghetti supper or something. Now, you had some radio experience. You were also a radio lover, and what you said you got to do some voiceover work?
I did my first thing in 1998 where I worked for the summer for a college radio station here called KCLC. And then...
what did you do for them?
At first I started on AM and I played music, and then I went to the FM and I also just did the same thing on the FM side. And then in 1999 I worked for a radio reading service in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was in their summer program there. And then in 2001 Chris and I hosted a show on the radio information service down here. We hosted a radio show called Talk Back, where we'd interview people for an hour.
Okay.
And then in 2003, I worked for, I was an intern for the Stephen D.C. radio show here in St. Louis.
Now, this Talk Back show that you did you folks take phone calls, or what did you, when did you?
Sometimes we did, and then other times we would pick different guests. Like one time we interviewed a rehab engineer. And another time we, just different guests that they thought that the listeners would be interested in learning more about.
This was for a radio reading service there in St. Louis or what?
Right. St. Louis here. And actually, the station itself is located in Belleville, Illinois, but it's for the St. Louis area.
They're on the subcarrier. The radio reading service is on the subcarrier of that station?
Right.
Yes.
I don't know what HD radio is going to do to that. It'll be interesting to see. And so you did this from the station, or you put it together from your home?
We did it in the station.
You went to the station?
Yep, we did.
All right, but you didn't run the board. You were just sitting in front of microphones doing this.
Right.
Did you write scripts for this, or just wing it like we do?
Mainly, I used to write up the questions that I was going to ask. It made me feel more prepared. But a lot of times, you know, of course, things can get off topic and, you know, and we would just wing it from there.
Yeah, I do a lot of preparation for these shows. I dial the number. that's my studio prep. I just dial, you know, it's, and I want, like, I don't know anything about you people, so everything you tell me is new to me, and I can be as surprised and as excited or whatever as the listener will be. I don't have to fake it. I don't have to say, oh, you really did that, when I already know what the hell you did, you know. I get some spontaneity in the show. So both of you are radio, or were or are radio people. You both have been at one time in love with radio and thought that's what you wanted to do. That's what you wanted to do, right? Both of you. Well, how did you two meet? How did you become acquainted?
We met.
We are both members of the National Federation of the Blind.
Okay.
And we know some mutual acquaintances in there. And
they said, "Hey, both these people are interested in radio. Why don't we get them together?"
Not really.
No.
I forgot. We went through some mutual friends and. I think the first time we met, she wanted to show me his voice, and she said, "Doesn't he sound like he's older?" I forgot what how it exactly came about, but she...
Wait a minute. He wanted to show you his voice.
Well, this friend of mine did, yeah.
Oh, okay. Is this friend? Okay.
This friend of mine, she wanted him to show me Chris's voice, and I think her main thing was, doesn't he sound like he's older? Listen to this guy's voice. Doesn't he sound like he's about 45 years old?
He does.
Right. And they did about 6 months to a year ago, they did some type of thing on the radio where listeners would call in and the people would try to guess their ages. And they said that he sounds about 55.
Oh, I don't think that old. I would say probably 35.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you really can't tell.
So she really believed that at the time he was 19, and she believed it, and I didn't. I didn't believe it at the time, and I said, no, I said, he's a 50-year-old man trying to pick up women.
And sure enough, he was just a 19-year-old trying to pick up women.
Right. And I said, oh, he's 45, and he's, you know, trying to play around. And then I called, you know, his home to talk to him, and his parents didn't sound like they were 80, you know, so like they kind of sounded young themselves, and that's when I kind of figured it out that maybe...
So that's kind of how you guys kind of sort of got together with the...
Right.
See,
right.
There we are, the mutual love of radio, because, you know, a girl who didn't love radio wouldn't give a damn how your voice sounded. She just, you know, she wouldn't care. So that voice have wrought you chastity. Isn't it nice? That's great. Even though you haven't gotten a radio job. You know, if you developed came up with a programming idea of some sort, ACB Radio was always looking for new programs. So if you came up with an idea for a show like this one, or, you know, not like this one, because we're already doing this one, but if you had a programming idea, they would be happy to entertain you. Of course, it's like I tell everybody, it is a labor of love. We don't get paid for doing this. It is a freebie, but if you came up with a programming idea, you could certainly do that.
Right.
All right. What is in Chris? What is in your future? Do you have plans, or what do you think you're going to want to do with the rest of your life?
Well, right now I'm actually looking for employment. I'm looking for something in the field of customer service, and there's actually a job out here in Missouri that I'm actually in the process of applying for right now. It's an event coordinator at a company called Merit. And what Merit's, they're like a big travel agency thing. And what I would be doing is I would be taking calls from people, and I would be like booking hotel rooms and events for big like companies and clients and that type of thing.
Do they have someone doing that now, or would you be in training to do that? Would they teach you?
They would. I believe they said that it would be training. They'd have to train me to work on that, on their system. I'd have to learn their computer systems and figure out and how they would work.
But then
JAWS and things like that.
That certainly sounds like something a blind person could do.
Yeah, it sounds really easy, and I checked over the job requirements, and I meet pretty much all of them. So that's I am actually, like I said, in the process of applying for that right now.
Well, I don't think it'll be easy, but I don't see any reason why you couldn't do it.
Right, and I'm up for the challenge on that job.
If they sound like they're not going to hire you, just tell them. I'll tell you what, dude, let's do this. Let me work for 2 months. I mean, if you're not happy with what I do, you don't know me, and I don't know you, and I'll go away and leave you alone. I mean, you know, they don't. Sometimes you have to prove, as a blind person, to sighted folks that you can actually do what you say you can do.
Right.
And sometimes the only way to do it is to offer your services as a trainee or as an intern or whatever, and that may be what you have to do. But it certainly sounds like these are jobs that you could handle.
Oh yeah, and I was looking at the job responsibilities, and you know, that's something I could do. I was looking at all of them, and I'm like, hey, I can do it. I can do this.
Well, good luck with that. I hope you get it, and keep us posted on what you do. Chastity, what are you going to do the rest of your life besides cook spaghetti?
I'm also I'm looking for jobs with the state of Missouri. I am currently taking some tests. I took one for 2 weeks ago for a position called public information specialist, and then the last couple of weeks I was trying to pursue a job with the Missouri Protection and Advocacy, and I recently found out more about the job that it entails quite a bit of traveling, and I don't prefer to have a job that...
You really don't want to do that.
Right. And so I'm taking other tests to get a job with the state.
Did you say public information specialist? What
right.
did you say? What
no?
What does a public information specialist do?
They would work for... a company... And for instance, like publisher newsletters and do press releases, and they would be the contact between the company and the press.
And you do have a degree in communications,
right?
Which included, we would think, a good bit of journalism,
right?
So that sounds like a job that you could handle, and you have pretty good sight, right?
Right. It actually requires a public communications degree. Although I do have partial vision, I am a braille reader, and I do use JAWS because I don't prefer to reprint for an extended period of time because it strains my eyes, and I'm not able to get far reading print. So I use braille and I use JAWS. I use all the adaptive technology.
Oh, so you learned braille in your public school when you
right.
When you...
I've known Braille since I was 9 years old.
And, Chris, I guess you know Braille also. You're Braille since you said you read that script in Braille.
Right.
And I have a guide dog as well.
Oh, do you now?
Yeah.
Chris, you don't have a guide dog. She does.
Right, she does, yeah.
She has a guide dog. You're totally blind, and she has a guide dog, and you don't. There's something wrong there. I can't figure out exactly what it is. We discussed that a good bit Friday night as to guide dogs. Do you feel like this guide dog helps you, Chastity?
Oh, yes, I do. Yeah. I feel like I can... I mean, I didn't really feel like my independence was hindered by using a cane, or that I had less independence by using a cane. I feel equally independent with both, but I just feel like I can walk faster, a little bit faster, you know, rather than, you know...
Mm-hmm.
There's advantages and disadvantages to both. I mean, you know...
Yes.
For instance, with a guide dog, you may walk around something that you want to, you know, use. Instead of tapping it with your cane, you're going to walk right around it with a guide dog.
Yeah, the guide dog is going to lead you around or whatever, but you won't run into it.
Right.
That's one sure thing. I've never used a dog, so I wouldn't be a good... I don't know. We talk about it a lot. I've done a lot of moving around with a cane, used to. Don't do so much anymore, but I found it adequate. I walked all over Austin, Texas, which is a very hilly, has a lot of steps in it, and I fell a couple times, but if you're blind, you're going to run into things and fall. I mean, that's just part of being blind, don't you think?
Right.
No question about it. Well, it's a shame that you folks can't find a little small market radio station out in the country and move there and live there on the property and run it and be happy. But you can't do that anymore. Those opportunities are gone. There are no small market stations. Everybody's moved to the big city now. I mean, you know, all the surrounding stations have moved. Did you see the article about Clear Channel selling all their small market radio stations?
Oh, yes. Yes, sure. They have.
I don't know what's going to happen there. They own four stations in Lufkin, in the town I live in.
Yeah, they own 1, 2, 3. Let me think. 1, 2, 3. I'm thinking like 4 or 5 here.
They don't. They own 4 or 5 FMs or AMs or what? They don't.
I think for FM, I think they own maybe 2 or 3 FM. Maybe I'm guessing on that, but
usually
I'm not sure exact.
They like to have 3 or 4 FMs in one town and a couple of AMs. And like in Houston, they own 8 radio stations. They own 5 FMs and 3 AMs in Houston.
Wow!
All licensed to the city of Houston, Texas. Yeah.
As far as my hobbies go, Phil, I don't know if you want me to talk
about
it.
Yeah, go ahead.
One hobby I've started doing, and I've gotten a lot of response from this, is I've actually started making audio tutorials for people.
Like for what?
Computer topics. Like how to use eBay and how to burn CDs using the computer, how to... Uh-huh. What else have I done? How to use such sites as like MapQuest, how to do that, and so a lot of different computer tutorials.
Do you sell these, or do you give them away, or what do you do with these?
Well, I've actually sell them, and a lot of people say that they're at a really reasonable price because a lot of tutorials do cost a lot. My prices are really reasonable. I got 20 of them out now.
You have 20 tutorials.
Mm-hmm.
Where would one find these? Where could you find these on the internet?
Well, I'm trying to have someone help me create a website so people can actually download.
Yeah.
Listen to the tutorial sample and then download it from me.
Okay, but if anyone wants to, say someone said, oh man, I'd like to have that how to use eBay tutorial, how would they, do you want to give some contact information?
Sure, I'll be glad to.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, you can do it one of two ways. You can email me, and I'll be glad to send you a current list of all 20 tutorials.
That would be the easiest way. Give us that.
Okay. The email address is Chris. I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to spell it. The email address is chrischass0713@charter.net. Now I'm going to spell it.
Okay.
Chris, C-H-R-I-S, as in Sam, Chass, C-H-A-S, 0713. @charter.net.
And you have a phone number where they can leave you voicemail.
You want to give a phone number?
Yeah, let me get this is a phone number that goes directly to a voicemail that I'll, and once I get a message I'll
that you'll email. Respond to. Okay.
The phone number is area code 314-732-4493. Again, 314-732-4493.
All right, Chris and Chastity, we're going to go and wish you lots of luck and keep us posted on your job search and how your lives are going. And you folks going to get married or are you just playing? Come on.
No, we're going to get married. We actually have plans about getting married. So.
Good. Let me know. I'll come and do your wedding.
Okay.
Chris Judd and Chastity, what is your last name?
Jackson.
Chastity Jackson, Chris Judd. Thank you both, and have a good day, and I'll talk with you, all right?
All right.
All right, Phil.
Bye-bye.
What we have, our little page of history. You're the only one I ever wanted. You're the only one I'll ever need.
Here's a website our crack research team certifies screen reader friendly. Now, with this week's Blind Sites, here's Tim Cummings.
One of the maddening things about a cell phone is that they charge you so much for the accessories, whether it's a microphone earpiece combinations or whether it's a belt clip or whether it's a case for your phone or even an extra long life battery for your cell phone. Well, if that's the case, you should take a look at www.com. www.bargaincell.com. You can look up by phone manufacturer and phone model to see what kind of products they have for your phone. And they have some of the products that are actually made by the manufacturers for the specific phones. They also have aftermarket products. I've ordered from them and been very happy with my results. And you can get the stuff at quite a discount to the original price. I bought a microphone earpiece for my particular phone that normally retails for $20, and I got it for $10, so that's a pretty good deal. It's www.bargaincell.com. I'd give them a screen reader friendliness rating of a 9. This is Tim Cummings saying, keep on blind sighting.
If you found a screen reader friendly website you'd like us to mention, send your email to blindlikeme, all one word, at txucom.net. And join us again next time for Blind Sight.
Should crack up or start crying?
Blind Sight.
Guest, and pronounce the name of your town again, because I never will be able to.
Benkelman, Nebraska.
Benkelman, Nebraska. How in the world did you get there? I mean, were you born there? Is this your? How did you arrive in Benkelman, Nebraska?
I was born in Benkelman, Nebraska.
Oh, it's your hometown.
Yes.
Yeah. Well. So I guess, and you've been there how long? You've been there all your life, I guess.
I haven't been here all my life. I've been around.
Yeah, but you're back there now. And that's where your parents, are your parents still alive?
Nope. Parents are deceased, but I live in the house that I was born in.
Oh, do you now?
Yes.
Well, that's kind of neat. All right. Well, you had a kind of a setback. They decided Friday afternoon that they didn't like you anymore, and so they terminated you on this little radio show you were doing.
Yep.
That's a shame. How long had you been doing that?
I started in July. So they now decided
that you weren't. They didn't like you, and you weren't good enough, and so you couldn't. You weren't going to do it anymore. Well, you just have to go somewhere else. Like, there's lots of other places that want DJs, you know, that might be glad to have you. So you just have to find another outlet for your...
Yeah, I applied at a couple more places, so we'll see.
we'll see what happens. But I hope that you've had the weekend to kind of think about it and get over it, get past it. Maybe you will. What what caused your blindness? What level of vision do you have, and what caused your blindness?
I can see colors and shadows.
Still, yeah, now.
Light and dark.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I was born blind, so I don't know what actually caused my blindness.
Oh, but you've been this way all your life, huh?
Yep.
All right. As a little child in Benkelman, Nebraska, what did they decide to do when it was came time to go to school?
I went to school in Atwood, Kansas.
And where now?
Atwood, Kansas.
Is that where the blind school is, or what?
No, it was a regular school.
Public school, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Atwood, Kansas. Why did they send you there?
Because they had the means of working. They had the means of basically they had the equipment and the teachers to.
They had facilities to deal with blind children there.
Well, no, actually,
no.
There were like two or three visually impaired children at one time.
It was a regular school, but they had special teachers for Braille teachers, or they had. I mean, there must have been some reason they sent you there.
Yeah, they had special teachers, you know, that teach Braille and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. And so you learned Braille when you were a little kid. When you were a kid.
Yep.
Learned to read. Do you still read Braille? Do you still use it?
Oh, yeah. I still read Braille.
Is that right? Is that your preferred method of reading? Like, if you're going to read a book, you're either listening to it on tape or read it in Braille?
Actually, I prefer both.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can do both. And how'd you do in school? Pretty good?
I did all right, I guess.
But you don't sound like very enthused about school. You didn't like it much or what?
No, I didn't like it much.
You didn't. There's a lot of us like that. You didn't care much for school. So did you graduate this in high school?
Yep, I graduated and I went on to the Center for the Blind in Lincoln.
Uh-huh. What did they teach you?
Basically independent living skills, cooking, cleaning, travel, stuff like that.
The things that you need to function as an adult.
Yep.
And that's the only training. You didn't go to college. That's the only other training you've had other than high school.
Correct.
All right. What do you work? Are you employed now or you're unemployed?
I'm just a housewife. I just stay home and take care of the house.
Take care of the house. You don't have children. You're not married?
Yeah, I'm married.
Oh, you are married?
Yes.
Where did I get the idea you weren't? I didn't realize you were married. Do you have children? It's a yes or no question. You either do or don't.
Well, yes, I do have a child.
You do have a child.
But she is adopted out to another family.
Oh, okay. All right. Is your husband sighted or blind?
My husband is sighted.
Your husband is sighted, and he works, I guess, huh?
Yes.
To make you a living. And you just stay home and wash dishes and clean up, kind of like I do. That's what I do. I stay home and do all the cleaning and dishwashing and stuff. And I like it. I like it that way. It's kind of comfortable. So, and you have children, but they're not living with you at this point in time. So it's just you and your husband.
Me and my husband and the cat and the dog.
And the cat and the dog. Do you have a seeing eye dog?
Nope. No seeing eye dog.
No seeing eye dog. But obviously you got interested at some point in time in radio. Were you interested?
I've been interested in radio all my life.
Is that right? Even as a child, you got interested in radio?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, did you ever try to go take any training and learn to do radio or learn anything about it?
No.
That's kind of hard for a blind person to do, right?
Yep.
Yeah, sometimes it is. We all love radio, but it's kind of hard to figure out how to get in radio with as a blind person. So this talkie show was a good outlet for you. You enjoyed that.
Oh yeah, I look forward to it every week.
What kind of music did you play? I think I asked you that. You said all kinds of music, huh?
Yep, a variety of all kinds of stuff.
All right, so you went to high school, and you went to this place in Lincoln to learn mobility skills. You got married, and you're staying home, and you've never worked. You don't have a job. You never have.
Correct. I do volunteer though once a week.
Like what?
Thursdays.
What sort of volunteer work do you do?
I shred paper.
Now, what? Give me that one more time.
I shred paper.
Well, shred paper.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Tell me about that. Who needs you to do that?
The USDA office.
They have enough paper that you go in once a week and you sit there and feed paper into their paper shredder and shred it, right?
Yes.
I don't know if I've ever met anybody that did that. And they don't pay you. This is strictly a volunteer thing.
Volunteer, yes.
USDA, the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Yep.
There in Nebraska.
Yep.
Well, I've heard of everything now. And you just go in once a week and sit there and shred paper. How many hours a week do you do that?
2 hours.
2 hours a week. Other than that, you do a little disc jockey show and keep your house, huh?
Yep.
And now they took your little disc jockey show. That upset you, didn't it? Because you're not.
Oh.
You, it must.
Quite quite upset me.
It must have, because you were all bubbly Friday and happy, and I thought, well, this is really going to be a good interview. Now you sound, it really upset you, didn't it? But, you know, it's just a bump in the road. It'll pass. You'll get over it. You'll find another place to do your disc jockeying. There's lots of sites that have disc jockeys on them. Well, you know, ACBRI has disc jockeys. For the People has disc jockeys. So maybe you can find another outlet for your talent. How did you do your show? All on the computer?
All on the computer.
And you have several thousand tunes stored in your computer?
Oh, I'd probably say
probably
about 2,000.
Okay. All right. Well, I hate to do this, but I'm going to go and let you grieve about this thing. I'd like to explain to you that it's just a bump in the road, but it doesn't feel like that right now, does it?
Oh, it's passed. Once I'm out and about and doing stuff, then you know it. It doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother you.
I'm not thinking about it.
You're not.
Not when I'm out and about doing stuff.
When you're out and about, but when you're sitting here talking to me, you're thinking about it. I can tell because you don't even sound like the same person I talked to Friday. obviously, it hit you pretty hard.
Yeah, it did.
I tell you what, we're going to go, and when you get another place to ply your disc jockey trade, you give me a call, and I'll announce it on ACB Radio. How would that be?
That'll be great.
That would be great, wouldn't it? We'll let them know where you ended up, and you'll find something else to do, I'm sure. There's, like I said, there's lots of places that have DJs, so keep applying until you find something. Get your good air check together and send it around, and you'll find some place. Or hell, you could start your own, I guess, really.
Yeah, if I knew how, I would.
Well, I'll tell you how. There's a place called Live 365. It's called Live 365, and you can buy a little domain on Live 365 and do your own disc jockey show. It doesn't cost that much money.
Well, I'll think about that.
So you might look into that. You might, of course, if you did, you'd want to probably more than just you. You'd probably want to get some other people together. But there are plenty of blind people who want to be disc jockeys. I guarantee you that. I talk to them all the time that want to get into radio. All right, Janet, we're going to go, and I'll be in touch, and you let me know when you find another disc jockey job, okay?
We can do that.
All right, Janet, I'll talk with you.
All right.
Bye-bye.